Glory to Jesus Christ. Imagine if you were given the task that the man in today's gospel was. If you were told to go out and tell all the people all the wonderful things God has done for you, what would you say? Think about that for a second. Think about one thing. One thing you could tell other people that God is so great and He's done for you. Some of us might go out and say, God is wonderful. He's given me children and grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, and I'm blessed for that. He's given me a long life, the wonderful spouse. Some of us might say that God is great and He helped me survive a horrible disease, gave me a new lease on life. Some of us might say, God is great because He saved us from a terrible addiction, from a horrible way of life. Some kind of former life that we were living that was leading us downward. God grabbed us and saved us from that. And He's great. And we could tell other people about that. We might all have a story to tell like that. No matter what the particulars are, though, they all have one story. And they all go back to today's gospel. Because we all come to God in different ways, and in particular manners and stations in life. But the one thing we have in common is we're all called to God and we're all saved by Jesus Christ. So the one story we can all share, if we had to say the same thing, was God is great and He's wonderful because He did this wonderful thing for me. Well, what is that? He loved me so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, into the world to die so that I might have everlasting life. That's the one story we all share, the one story we can all tell. And that's what today's gospel is really about. It's a parable about Jesus Christ and His salvation. You know, this man was demon-possessed. He was hell-bent, like a lot of situations we hear about today. He lived not in a home, but among the tombs, almost waiting for his death, wearing no clothes, and possessed by a very powerful demon. Turns out to be legions of demons who are trying to destroy him. So Jesus comes and liberates him from this, and therein is the miracle, therein is the great story of salvation. Jesus Christ comes into the world, takes on our fallen humanity, restores us all to life, restores us all back to the image of God we were created for. And then how do we respond? We see a couple of different responses in today's gospel. One of the responses is the man is so overwhelmed and he's so moved that he asked Jesus, can I stay with you? He wants to cling to him. It's like when somebody is saved from a horrible life or they finally listen to God calling them and then they want to devote their whole life to prayer, to good deeds, to the church. Maybe they go to a monastery and they isolate themselves and pray continually. This man wanted that. The other people in the town were scared, it says. They saw the miracle. They saw the man who was hell-bent, now clothed in his right mind and having conversations. But they were scared. They didn't know what to make of it. So they asked Jesus, leave. Please leave. Go away from us. That's another response. Perhaps these people recognized their sinfulness. Perhaps these people recognized that there's something good and something true and something here of God, and they were not worthy to be a part of it. That interpretation kind of lets them off easy. The other way of looking at that is that they didn't want any part of what Jesus had to offer, whether it was life or death. They just wanted no part of it. And people can be like that too in the world. But we hope that in the church, you know, we're all called, we're all here. In the church, our response to God might be some kind of a mixture, wanting to cling to Him, wanting to be with Him, wanting to embrace that life fully and never leave it, yet recognizing who we are and what we need to do in order to get through. That's what we hope for in a life in the church. I have conversations with people a lot, and I often hear either people don't come to church for various reasons, they don't think it's important, or they don't like the people, or they come to church and they never receive the sacraments, they never receive Holy Communion, and they think they're not worthy. Well, I'm not worthy of that. And it's true, they're not. None of us are worthy. Jesus Christ did not come into the world and die for us because we were worthy. He came because God loves us so much. So we can't use that as an excuse. It may be based in fear. Maybe we're afraid of doing what it takes to make ourselves right before God. The whole gospel, the whole salvation story is about repent. It's about change. It's about come to God and tell Him who you are. And if you need to turn around, you do it. So we have confession in the church. We have a means of restoring people who have fallen. And we fall many times and often. But some people don't want to do that. It's scary. They're afraid. It hurts to look at ourselves in a mirror, truthfully. We don't like what we see. We don't want to admit it, whatever the reason is. Or we're too comfortable in our way of life that we don't want to change. But beloved in Christ, we say again and again, the whole message and the whole reason for this life in the church, this life in Jesus Christ, is that we would be united to God fully and completely. We are born in sins, our mothers conceive us. In other words, the moment we come into the world, we're mired in all kinds of corruption and fallenness. And that fallenness affects us every day of our lives. So naturally, according to fallen human nature, we sin. If we believe, we're baptized, we begin that walk along a road to restoration. Baptism is our death with Jesus Christ. It's our participation in His death. And we're restored to fullness of life, and we receive the life-giving sacraments, His body and His blood, throughout our life. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean that we've reached our destination. In fact, it means we're only just beginning in this life. So every day is a challenge. Every day teaches us that we fall, we get back up again. We make the sign of the cross. We say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we come to the church to restore all things in the sacraments. We confess our sins before God. We receive life in His body and in His blood, knowing that we're not worthy. But just by His love for us, He makes us worthy. We'll never be worthy. There's nothing we can do to make us worthy enough or good enough. It's all through His love for us. So we surrender and say, God, I know I'm not worthy. I'm the chief among sinners. When we come up for communion today, we read that prayer together, and we all call ourselves sinner number one, recognizing that. So this is the approach. We don't shun God, and we don't see that there's nothing, we don't understand that there's nothing we have to do, we can just sail along. No, we have to come and we have to participate, and we have to embrace the church and embrace God's love for us. Everything He has done, no matter what He's done for us particularly, and He's done something wonderful for all of us, we have to say, God is great because He loves us so much that Jesus Christ came and died for me, a miserable sinner. And not because I was good, but even when I was dead in sins, Christ died for me. And all of us can say the same thing. And finally, there's another group of people who won't even recognize that God has done anything. You know, and perhaps they're not ready. Perhaps their hearts are hard. God never did anything for me. I have a miserable life. I can't do A, B, C, D. I never get fill in the blank. Everybody acts this way towards me. And yet, there's always the opportunity for salvation. There's always the door for repentance and for change. And no matter what's going on in our life, God loves us and He's reaching out to us. On the back of your bulletin today, there's a little essay that talks about how God reveals Himself and how He doesn't reveal Himself the same way all the time. It takes time and it takes effort on our part, and it becomes really special when we take some initiative to find Him. God is always there. He's always calling. And He's calling all of us all the time. When there's no communication, when there's a break, it's because we're not listening. We're preoccupied with the world. We're listening to other things. We're not ready to change who we think we are. But beloved in Christ, it's necessary. It's the most important and most necessary thing we ever do. Change. Change and become who God wants us to be. When we do that, we'll hear and we'll start seeing what God wants to show us in His revelation. Excellent example, and I have to take this opportunity to point out a typographical error in the epistle this morning. It was read properly, but it wasn't typed out right, and it really changes the meaning. The first two lines of the epistle, St. Paul talks about, well, he says, I would have you know that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, and it should say, nor was I taught it. Okay, not for. Nor was I taught it. He's saying I was not taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So very important. Paul's trying to tell us that he had an actual encounter with the Lord. The Lord chose him from his mother's womb and set him apart to do this good thing, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul had a terrible former life where he was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. We read in the book of Acts, while Stephen, the first martyr and deacon, is being stoned to death, Paul is standing by watching and approving of it, because Paul wanted to persecute the church and stop this insurrection. But then Paul had a revelation. God spoke to him and he listened. And Paul changed. That's the kind of life we want to have. No matter where we are, and it really doesn't matter where we are, where we start out, whatever our station in life, we are all called to the same thing, to a life in God, a life of sanctity, a life of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. So let us begin today, brothers and sisters. Let us begin recognizing God is good, and He's good really for one important reason, because Jesus Christ came into the world and died for us. That's the story to tell. And let us look to the holy saints who have modeled their lives according to God's will and imitate them so that we too could share in that life of holiness in the eternal kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.